All right. Well, thanks for joining in, for listening to a new episode of the Dan Time Podcast. I am Dan McArdle, your host, and just super pleased to welcome to the show today, second-year pro baseball player, Dan Beebe. He's a right-handed starting pitcher, past two seasons for the Tri-City Valley Cats of the Frontier League. Dan, or Beebs, as I hear they call you from time to time, or maybe
that's
off
correct, yeah.
Most of the time, signed with the Valley Cats on June 9th, 2023. Really cool achievement here, Dan. Same day you sign with the team, you're joining them on the road, and in your professional debut, you earn the win, 5 innings, 1-run ball, and then a month later, earning Pitcher of the Week honors for a 7 2/3 scoreless innings, 8-strikeout performance against Evansville. Dan's a graduate of Rutgers Camden, later enrolled as a graduate student at Palm Beach Atlantic University, West Palm Beach, and during his time there earned Sunshine State Conference Pitcher of the Week honors for a 10-strikeout performance. Originally from Berlin, New Jersey, played for Coach Rob Chris there, earned All-Conference, All-South Jersey team honors. The list goes on. Dan, really just want to welcome you to the show today. I'm a huge baseball fan, and I love to feature guys like you.
Well, I appreciate it. I want to thank you for having me on the show, and I'm glad we can share the common interest in baseball here, so it'll be exciting.
How has your experience been so far playing for Tri-City, being in the Frontier League? I mean, this is a league that, if you just look at the attendance figures for the past 2 years, people are going to these games. They're packing them out for 2024. Tri-City was fourth in attendance. You improved on 2023. Single game average for your home games, about 50 home games a year, just over 3,000 in the seats. I mean, I'm here in Pensacola, Florida, and our AA affiliate, we sometimes don't draw 2,500. I mean, some games are different than others, but it sounds like a really exciting product on the field.
Yeah, it definitely is. Tri-City is a great place to play. And I believe it's just, you know, sometimes when it comes down to minor league baseball and independent baseball, it's about the location and the, you know, how long the team's been standing. And Tri-City's been there for 20-plus years. So the fans, that's what they do in that town of Troy, New York. Not that there's not much to do, but, you know, when there's a ball game, everyone knows about it. You know, there's signs put up. Restaurants will have their deals after a Valley Cats game. If you went to a game, you get a free drink, or, you know, all that stuff. So it's more the community around there is excellent, and I think that attributes to why Tri-City draws such a good crowd.
And also, Dan, I really love this about any of my guests who overcome adversity, because everybody's faced with challenges in life, whether it's your home life, work life. People get injured. People get sick. And you've been dealt various blows across your playing career, whether it was in college, maybe in high school as well. But going back to your freshman year, I think you get injured in your first game that wipes out that season. Can you talk about maybe some of those periods? I know the most recent one we'll get to earlier this year, but how you got through that in those early days, 2017, and then a couple years later?
Yeah. Well, my injury history goes back way longer than even college. When I was actually 11, you know, baseball's been pretty much my passion, and, you know, I've always loved it, being in the backyard playing wiffle ball, stuff like that. When I was 11 years old, actually, in a game, I took a line drive off the head. And this is probably nowhere to be found because it's, you know, so long ago. You know, ambulance came, cleared me, passed all the concussion protocol. Later that night, I start puking, and they rushed me to the hospital. And actually, I had a broken skull, internal bleeding, a bruised brain, and I had a seizure all that night from the line drive. And I think all the adversity that I had to deal with later in my career all stems from when I was 11 years old and in the hospital for 2 weeks, and they said, all right, he won't be playing baseball for the rest of this year. And crazy enough, and as crazy as I was as a kid, that did not stop me, and I was back on the field in about a month, just being a kid again. And I think anytime I've dealt with the adversity of injury, so freshman year of college, and I tore my labrum in my shoulder, I just see it as like, all right, bring it on. Here we go. Like, let's see. This game wants to keep me down again. Fine. Let's see how long I can play it, and let's see how much I can overcome. So, I guess it's more of a testament to more of a comparison to life, and I take it as that as, I don't let the game have any power over me. So, when these injuries come, I just see it as another bump in the road and something I can get through. And if I want to keep playing, then I'll keep playing, and nothing else,
Wow. Dan, that is incredible. And especially going back to that injury as an 11-year-old, I mean, your parents must have been pretty worried, and
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
it was a life or death thing. I mean, really, just a few inches either way, the way you described it. Some people they don't pick up the glove again. They don't pick the bat up again. They go find something else to do. That's
Yeah.
quite remarkable at 11 years old that you continued playing after a scare like that.
Yeah, it was a life or death situation, really was. I remember being in the hospital and people visiting me, and I was like, "What the heck is going on?" Like, they really, and people and my teammates are crying seeing me in the hospital. I'm like, "I'm good." I was like, "I'm all right." Like, it's what other people saw it as, like, it was life or death. Me, it was just and I was in a great hospital, and I was getting ice cream delivered to me when I wanted it. So, it was kind of that positive mindset I always kind of kept. So.
I'm inclined to say I love the story, but I mean, it's just, it's really inspirational. I don't love that it happened, but have you also had some coaches along the way? I'm sure you have, whether it be Little League, high school, that you still text with them, or they reach out to you, say, "Hey, Dan, how's it going?" Or I've been following your line scores, or any people you still keep up with from, back at Rutgers Camden
Not so
or
much
Summer
Rutgers
League.
Camden. I played at Palm Beach Atlantic, and those coaches are great to me. Kent Bottenfield, he was a big league coach, and Bo McMillan, they were really good to me. And I really think they helped me revive my career down in at Palm Beach Atlantic after my injuries that I suffered at Rutgers Camden. Whether it was, I don't think it had anything to do with Rutgers Camden itself, just the timing of everything. I'll still talk to them, reach out to them, and I'd say that's about it. Yeah, Little League coaches. I some of the Little League coaches would be my friends' parents, so I still see them, and we'll talk about the good old days. But yeah, I'd say the coaches I still keep in touch with are my Palm Beach Atlantic coaches. So.
Let's jump around a little bit. Sometimes people who listen to the show know that I kind of bounce all over the place here with the questions, and because you don't find out some of this stuff just online. How about your pitch arsenal, your pitching style? Are you a finesse pitcher? Are you a combination of both? Are you a sinker baller? Tell me a little bit about your pitch selection.
Yeah, I'd say a combination of both. As a starting pitcher, it's tough because you'll show up one game and you'll have your good stuff and you'll have your velocity and on your fastball, and then another game you won't, and you'll have to become that finesse pitcher. So I found you need to have the ability to flip a switch and do both. So I am both. I do feature a sinker, which actually this year I used it a ton, and it actually was one of my best pitches. But it's crazy because baseball, it changes. One year you can be a four-seam fastball pitcher, and that's your best pitch. And the next year you could be a sinker baller or the next game. So, I kind of see how I play is kind of like I'm in the backyard playing wiffle ball. That's how I like to always think about it. And all right, well, if I want to make this ball cut, I want to make a cut fastball, I'll make it cut. And but I'll feature a four-seam, a sinker, a cutter, a slider, a changeup, and a curveball. So I do have a big arsenal, but there'll be games where I can just rely on my fastball and my cutter, and that's when I'll be the power pitcher. And there are other games where, yeah, I will finesse and use that sinker changeup. So.
One thing this season that jumped out to me, Dan, 42 innings of work, 31 hits allowed, but only 5 extra base hits and just 2 long balls. Opponents are hitting just 203 against you in 2024. Yeah, ERA 191, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
That's a sign of progress, I think, year over year as well. Not walking a lot of guys. Got to feel pretty good about that, where you're pitching with most of the time guys on first base, right?
Right.
or first and third, maybe induce a double play.
Right, yeah, and that's when that sinker comes in handy and that cutter. But, yeah, I made some adjustments. I do believe fastball location is the most important part of this game, at least where I'm at. So this year I was able to get a lot of early outs in the at-bat, 1-2 pitches, and just getting the fastball in on the hands, breaking bats. We're getting that cutter that looks like a fastball that's away and you know, fools the hitter and he pops it up or, you know, he's out in front. So just a little bit of that has helped me out a ton this year, just locating better.
What can you say for people listening who don't know a lot about the independent leagues and how you guys travel, how you get along on the bus rides? What are guys doing in 2024 as far as when you're traveling? Are some dudes just putting the sleep mask on and leave me alone, putting the silencers on the ears, or some people chatty? How's it?
Yeah, there's the bus is split into sections for sure. You'll have the coaches up front and then the players right behind them that want to get their sleep in and listen to their music and not be bothered. And then you got the rowdy crew in the back who, man, sometimes they'll have a speaker and that stuff. I don't like that stuff, but, and they'll be playing their games back there. There's a game, and that's pretty commonly and famous and probably all of baseball, called Mafia, where you play in the back of the bus and, that gets pretty rowdy. Then you'll have card games and all stuff like that. So it's definitely it's split into sections for sure, but it's pretty comical. Yeah, the traveling is, and you'll have 10-hour bus rides, and so you gotta have a little bit of both, of the sleeping and the rowdiness, because it helps pass time. So,
and as far as where you're stopping to eat, do you guys ever have a vote on, hey, let's, I know what town we're about to hit, we got to stop here, or do you just sit back and hope you get something good?
Well, let's think about it. When we go to Canada, we always hit a Market 32 in Plattsburgh, right before the border in New York. So we know we're going to hit that. And then most of the time, yeah, it's kind of a coin toss. You know, you're hoping something looks good on the side of the road and the head coach sees that, or someone sees that and says, hey, pull over here to the bus driver. But, you know, there'll be times where we'll stop at a mall and we'll walk around for 30 minutes, an hour. And then you get a lot of options there. But yeah, sometimes it's a coin flip, and, you know, a lot of guys try to keep a good diet, but when you're on the road, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. I've kind of wondered about the diet and the regiment that some guys want to stick to, maybe getting the protein shakes that they'd really prefer to have. You know, how do you get to prepare those when you want to? But I always admire guys who are playing and taking those long bus rides and keeping themselves in good shape and good spirits and having to deal with all the personalities.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a mixed bag, I'm sure, wherever you play. And the Frontier League, going back to the success of this league, they're expanding next year, a couple more teams coming in, Mississippi Mud Crushers, way down in Pearl, Mississippi.
Yeah.
What kind of ride is that going to be, you know, if you're still up in New York? I think they're in the West. They'll be in the West Division or Western.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, we flew to Chicago this year, so hopefully we'll have the funds or it might even be cheaper at times to fly. So hopefully that could be flight down to Mississippi. But then I believe there's a team in North Carolina. That'll be a little bit of a bus ride. So I'm not sure, but in the Frontier League, you are allowed to fly. And I know in the, I think it's the American Association, you're not allowed to fly. So I think they're all bus rides. So hopefully, you know, they can work something out. And especially with attendance going up, and there's independent teams that are really taking off with, I'm sure they're making great money, that, you know, a lot of teams can be flying nowadays. But yeah, it's if that bus ride is a bus ride in Mississippi, I'm sure that'll be, 17, I don't even know, 18 hours.
Right.
And then you're just praying to get some sleep in at that point. Yeah.
Dan, where's your favorite place to play so far, or the places that you travel? Because I listen to, I don't know if you listen to baseball podcasts, but I really like The Book of Joe. It's Tom Verducci, Joe Madden. And they were talking on the latest episode about the home field advantage in particularly like the postseason MLB playoffs. That it's, I think it was Madden saying, you know, it's not the same as in the NFL or NBA. We can, baseball players can kind of channel some of that energy or some of the aesthetics that you like of different stadiums. And it's, you're not intimidated like you are or some other athletes are. Can you speak to that? Are there some places on the road that you just kind of get fired up to be there?
Yeah, absolutely. And in the Frontier League especially, it's probably the best independent atmosphere to play at. But Quebec, the Capitals up there, they've won, I believe, three straight championships. That atmosphere is unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if they know that's a French-speaking territory, and I don't know if they know much about the MLB, but I think they treat it like that is the MLB there. So when you go up there and play, I've struggled there because of the crowd, actually. My two starts I had last year, you know, I did not have my command, which I usually always have. And I do believe it's basically because you have 6,000 people that are kind of right on top of you. That's how the stadium is built, singing Sweet Caroline the whole game. And then you have, you know, when you're warming up, they have a beer garden right next to your bullpen. So you got about another 500 people trying to speak French to you. So right from the get-go, you're bombarded with attention and people, and the atmosphere is ridiculous. And that definitely plays a huge part in the Frontier League is Quebec. And you can see from people want to play there, number one. Number two, they have, you know, they get the attention, the glory, everything you get as a MLB player at a smaller stage, obviously. But, and then they've won three titles in a row, I think 10 maybe in the last 25 years, something like that. It's something ridiculous. So that would be my favorite place to play. Although I've struggled there, it is still, it makes it feel pretty special. So,
Dan, when you are in a high-pressure situation, when you got the bases loaded and you've got nobody out or one out, are you feeling the pressure internally, or are you still pretty steady going through your motions and just trying to attack the hitter?
Yeah, I'd say that's another adjustment I had to make last year, you know, as a rookie compared to this year, was in those situations to not just, you know, not give the game so much power over you in that situation and know, like, all right, if I still make my pitches here, then I can limit the damage and go from there. But, yeah, there's pressure. And as you grow in the game, you learn to deal with stuff like that. So, yeah, you just have to go and trust your stuff and control your breathing. I always like to control my breathing in situations like that. And honestly, you know, absorb that atmosphere and that pressure that's on you and use it to better yourself. And so I get fired up sometimes. If I have base load and no outs, I kind of am like, all right, let's see what we can do here and go from there. But those situations are intense and they're pretty fun. So
now, depending on the hitter, do you sometimes look at the situation and say, I know I can strike this guy out, so I'm not gonna try to induce a ground ball here. I'm gonna come right after him and get that first out, because after that, I think I can get a ground ball in the infield. Does that kind of play into it as well?
Absolutely. That's the first thought. As soon as you got bases loaded, no outs, first thought is, all right, I'm striking out this guy, and then I can have some breathing room. But yeah, you're going for a strikeout there, 100%.
Dan, how about do you have a memory that stands out? Could be professionally, could be going back a few years on the diamond. What's your favorite experience so far?
At Palm Beach Atlantic, this is last year. We were probably about one of the worst teams in the conference, and no one expects anything from us. And, you know, I had this start up against University of Tampa, who's the best team in the country every year. And it was just you know, everyone shows up to those games in college and because you're playing Tampa. And I went eight innings of one-run ball, and I went back out there for the ninth. And, I you know, I think that was my favorite memory. Did not get the win, but I remember this kid hit a line drive right back at me, and I caught it. And I remember, you know, the college dugout, which is ridiculous, you know, what goes on in there, was fired up. So I think that was my favorite memory, going up against Tampa and being such an underdog. Palm Beach Atlantic is not a successful program in Tampa. It is the most successful college program. And going 8 innings, one run ball against them, and that was pretty cool.
And coming back out for the ninth, like you said.
And coming back out to the ninth with that, but I think I had about 122 pitches going back out in the ninth. But then we did lose by one run. But it was all right.
Yeah, I think as a fan, if a starter's pitching well and he's under 100 pitches, you don't know what his pitch count is, what kind of leash he's on.
Right.
But fans, you know, want that guy to come back out for the ninth. And I bet it's a thrill now. It just doesn't happen like it did 30 or 40
no.
years ago.
Yeah, it's a different game now.
Would you say without, I don't want to get you in trouble, but do the guys want to go the distance and they're just playing under the constraints of the system where, hey, I know I'm not going to be able to go more than six innings tonight, but I'd like to go seven or eight, love to complete the game or.
Right. Yeah, it's all situational there. Playoff baseball. Yeah, absolutely. You're laying it all out there. You want to go nine, you want to go eight, you want to throw 130 pitches. As long as you're throwing well and in a good rhythm, there's nothing that's going to want to take you out of that game. Earlier in the year, I think in today's day and age, you have to be smart. And but it's all, you know, it's systematic nowadays. You won't have a lot of coaches that will let you out there for 130 pitches, you know, because of all the injuries and all the Tommy John surgery. So. But it really just depends on the situation. Playoff baseball, yeah, you're going out there for nine, and or you're going out there for 130 pitches, if, you know, allowed. But otherwise, then, you know, it's pretty rare.
Well, let's – I kind of hate to wrap up because this is – I feel like it's just getting good, but I don't want to take all your time. What about fantasy football? Are you
– Oh, man.
Do you play?
Yeah, addicted. Yeah, that's my
Love
favorite
–
probably my favorite time of year. Yeah, it's so much fun.
How's what are we in week? I can't believe it's week four already.
Week five.
Week
yeah,
five?
No, we're done. Yeah, we're going into week five.
Have you won a fantasy football championship?
Oh yeah, it's been 10 years. 2014 was my last win. So
you're doing better
I'm
than me.
I'm changing things up in my approach this year. I'm usually quiet in the group chats and I just let it play out. But this year I'm cocky and I'm letting everyone hear it because I'm 4-0. So I'm hoping for a title this year. That'd be awesome.
Who do you like as far as you got a favorite quarterback right now or running back?
Yes. So I grew up as an Orioles and the Redskins fans, now the Commanders. And Jaden Daniels is phenomenal right now. He's unbelievable. So I did trade for him in one of my leagues. But I got Derrick Henry that's carrying my team in my main league, so I'm rooting for him every time the Ravens play. So,
just a human wrecking ball.
Oh my gosh, he's you know, every year it's like, oh, he's old, he's 1 year older, but he still looks, you know, so damn good. So,
yeah, they carved him out of stone or something. You don't see a guy like
he's
him.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. So,
what do you like to do when it's the off season? You got a little bit of time to just unwind. Some people, and I, because I can relate to this, I'm always more go, go, go than I probably should be. I can relax, but it's like,
right.
I can relax long enough, as long as this sandwich lasts. Like, I can watch TV, and once my plate is empty, I gotta get going again. How do you feel
yeah.
about relaxing, unwinding? What do you like to do?
I think it comes in waves. I'm just like that, where I need to be doing something, keep my mind occupied, just get moving and all that stuff. But I've been able to unwind after this year. I had a injection in my elbow at the end of the year that should help me, you know, recover and set me up good for next year. So I had to rest anyway actually, I'm still resting. That was 6 weeks I'm supposed to rest. So I think in a week I'll be all right. But yeah, the routine right now, I did pick up a job working at the hospital in a few weeks, but the routine right now is wake up, coffee, and I'll get a little workout in, do my physical therapy that I'm doing now, and then visit family, stop by everyone, pick up some work if there's work available, cutting grass and stuff like that, and do it all over again the next day until I start my new job. So
now, I mentioned at the top of the episode, and we can talk as much or as little about this as you want to, but I understand that first part of the season, and I'm not entirely sure what happened, but you were out with an illness that caused you to close to 15, 20 pounds.
Yeah.
And going back to overcoming adversity and all, kind of having that mindset where you're just going to beat it and you're going to endure it and get through it. Was this one particularly challenging?
Yeah, this one was, because the timing of it was pretty brutal. It was our first road trip in Chicago, and I don't know if I ate something or, you know, I don't know what, but I couldn't get food down for about 3 days in a row. And when you go 3 days with pretty much nothing in your system, you lose all that weight you put in the off season that us baseball players try to do, because in season, you know, we're going to lose a little bit, kind of went away. And I was like, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to get this back. But yeah, that was tough. I had a little forearm injury then and the sickness at the same time. And I was like, oh man, to start my season. But I don't even think I missed a start then. I think I pitched through it for one or two starts, and then I realized that I needed like a week. I needed to rest for a start to get eaten and rest and put some pounds back on, because I was losing my velocity. I was losing my strength. My recovery was not as good. So that one was particularly tough earlier this year, but you know, we made it through it. So.
Well, Dan, I can't thank you enough for your time today. It's been a fun conversation for me. I hope it has been for you as well.
And absolutely, yeah.
Man, I always do this where I just about forget to ask a Dan question. So most of us were not born Dan, and not a lot of Dans flying around out there in 2024. It's kind of, I'm proud to be a Dan, and I want to get your thoughts on your Danhood and how you, when the nickname came about and all that stuff. Well, a little Dan time here at the end.
Yeah, sure. You know what? I haven't thought about what you just said. In 2024, there's not a lot of Dans. And the more I think about that, the more I think you're right. I don't know too many Dans. So I'm blessed. You know, I'm lucky to have a name as rare as this nowadays. I got one friend named Dan, and that's it. That's the only other Dan I can think about. So, yeah, there's some pride. I think there's some pride you get when you have the name Dan. Pretty simple, three-letter word, but, you know, I think simple is what lasts. So to us Dans, you know, cheers. So that's what I got.
Man, that may be one of the best lines on this podcast. Simple is what lasts.
Yeah.
Well spoken, Dan. Man, I wish nothing but the best for you in your baseball career. Who knows what 2025 has to offer, and I'll certainly be following you as well. Folks, check out, I'll have it in the show notes here, but the Tri-City Valley Cats, the Frontier League. If you're in the area, if you're traveling around next year, check out their schedule and keep up with Dan. Baseball Reference is kind of the baseball nerd site. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I don't know. Dan, does every player check out his Baseball Reference page from time to time?
Yeah, I'd say just about after every game. Yeah, they're on that page.
So you can follow Dan there. And if you're on social media, that's another thing I forgot. Do you do that much? Do you want people to follow you?
Yeah, I actually just recently revived it. So I'm on just Instagram right now, and then Spotify. I don't even know if that's social media, but, you know, my music. So,
well, good deal, man. Great to talk to you today, and hope we can do this again. Thank you so much, Dan.
I appreciate it, Dan. That was an awesome interview. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Dan Time Podcast. And if you take anything from this episode, take some inspiration. If you're going through something, which, you know, usually everybody is, and maybe it's a family member that's going through something that you're kind of helping them with, or you're going through with them, or you've got some kind of struggle happening, take some inspiration from Dan and get your head on straight. There's people to help you. There's people to support you. And you're tougher than you think you are. Most people are. And but great guest today, Dan Beebe. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Take care.